Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus instructs his followers about the power of faith and the duties of discipleship. He calls his disciples to adopt the attitude of servants whose actions are responses to their identity rather than works seeking reward. I begin reading at verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare a supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone once said there's two different types of people in this world. There's people of vision, and then there's fine print people. People of vision are those that have dreams and they think big and they can see the big picture. The fine print people are the ones who catch that vision and are able to actually do it and make sure that it's carried out. For instance, a vision person may say, "I dream of a day when everyone in our community will be in worship on Sunday morning." Well, the fine people then say, "Well, okay, let's see how we can make this happen. Maybe we need to reevaluate our worship practices. Maybe we need to get some more advertisement out there. Maybe we need to start some Bible studies to get people interested in it." The fine print people are the ones who carry out what needs to be done. And it's the vision people who have that idea. Or a vision person might say, "I think that it is possible to feed the whole world, that there will be no more hunger in this world." Well, the fine print people then would say, "Okay, let's see how we can go about doing this. Maybe we need some education programs, maybe to train people so that they have good skills in order to find jobs and they can feed themselves. Or maybe we need to look at the political spectrum, because across the world, a lot of that poverty is caused by wars, people being uprooted from their homes and put into concentration camps." And so the fine print people start to look to see how to carry out that vision of what's going on. In 1961, right in the middle of the Cold War, the Soviet Union sent up Yuri Gagarin into space. The first manned spaced flight, and he made an orbit around the Earth and he landed. The United States was dumbfounded. How can they get ahead of us in this space race? How can they have the technology to do this and we don't? And the United States could have easily made an announcement then too at that point, "We can do the same thing." But that was not the vision. Instead, President John F. Kennedy had a new vision. He said, "By the end of this decade, we will put a man on the moon and bring him safely back." That was the vision. And so all the fine print people went to work at NASA. The engineers, the architects, the scientists, the construction workers all started to put the pieces together how to make this work. We have vision people and we have fine print people. Vision and fine print are both important for our faith as well then too. Many times in the Old Testament it was the prophets who were the vision people. They received a vision from God. And then it was the priests, or the religious leaders, or the people then who were the fine print people who started to put that together and started to change their ways. In our first lesson today, we have one such vision. It's about Habakkuk. Habakkuk looks at the people of Israel. He's seen what the chosen people of God have become. And he sees all of the corruption. He sees the waste. He sees the greed. He sees the injustice that's going on. He sees the poverty and the very wealthy and the inequities that are all involved with it. And he thinks, this is not the way that God wants his chosen people to live. He has a vision. And he waits for God then. He prays to God, God, is this the right vision? And he waits for God to answer. And God answers him, yes, this is the vision. I do not want my people living this way. And God tells him to write it on tablets and put it in a prominent place where runners, where messengers can read this, and it can spread throughout all the people. And that the fine print people then can start to make the changes to happen. Sometimes, though, I don't think that's such all that much of a category of just people who are visionary and just people who are fine print. Sometimes you can be both. Thomas Edison was one of the most prolific inventors in the United States and maybe across the world. He had hundreds of patents. He invented hundreds of things. Someone asked him one time, how are you able to do all this? And Thomas Edison answered that, when I work on a project, it's 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. Edison was able to do it all, but he knew how to do that, to have the vision and then to start to work on it. In our gospel lesson for today, too, the disciples are inspired enough to have a vision. They come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, increase our faith. But Jesus gives them a new vision. He tells them that if you had the faith of a tiny mustard seed, now picture this, that tiny mustard seed can grow into a huge shrub so big that it can uproot a tree. You have to see that picture of what your faith is and what you are capable of and what that faith carries with it, with that power and the might of God, and what you will be capable of doing with that faith. And Jesus goes on to tell them of another picture, of another vision here then too. He gives that parable of a slave. When a slave comes in from the field, the master doesn't tell him, okay, it's time to eat, why don't you sit down at the table and let's start. Rather, the master says, okay, prepare supper, and after I'm done, you can get something to eat too. The slave is expected to do what he does because he is a slave. The slave does what he does simply because he is a slave. And Jesus is applying this to faith then, or it's applying it to us, that we catch this vision too, that we do the things that we do. We behave the way that we are. We believe the way that we are simply because that's the way that we are made. We have been created in that image of God. We have God in that sense as a part of us. That's how God has made us. Not with, as Habakkuk looked at the people and seen the corruption, the greed, the injustice, the inequities around him. But rather, God created us originally to live in the Garden of Eden, to enjoy life, to visit with God, to be in conversation with God, to be in that relationship with God. And that's who we are created to be. But we fell. We have gone astray. We do things on our own and we ignore God. And God sent Jesus then into this world to bring us back, to make us righteous once again, to make us so that we are right with God, so that we can be in that relationship with God. That's who we are created to be. And we simply do the things that we do because that's who we are. We love because that's who we are. We forgive because that's who we are. We serve because that's who we are. We forgive because that's who we are. We have a need to love. We are created in that image of God, and I think that image of God is love. That is within us. And so we have that need to be able to love. And we need to do that freely because it's a part of our nature. We have a need to forgive. Again, as we call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, that's what Christ came down to do. He came down to forgive us. God forgave us and He sent His Son into this world to forgive us. And as we are created to be who we are, we have a need to forgive others. I don't know if you've ever carried a grudge or had bad feelings against someone else and it just dragged out. It messes up your life. Everything that you think about so many times is thinking, how do I get even? How do I get back at that person? And carrying that hate within us, we have a need to let that go, to get rid of that, to simply to forgive. We have a need to serve. That's what Christ came down into this earth to do, was to serve. He served us. He gave Himself everything. He gave His whole self to us. And He died on that cross. He was the ultimate servant for all of us. We too, as we call ourselves Christians, follow along in His stead. We are His disciples. We learn from His servanthood of how to be servants, of how to care for one another. We give because we have a need to give. God has given us everything. That's what God does. He gives us the things that we need. And He has blessed us richly. And so we in turn have that same need as we are created in the image of God to be able to give. And so we give of ourselves, of who we are. We return that service back to God. We give of our time. We give of our talents, those skills, those gifts that we have. And we give of our possessions because we know that everything that God has given us belongs to God. And we're simply sure. We are just simply the stewards. We are simply managers of what we have here on this earth. We have these needs to give because that is exactly who we are. We have these needs to love because that is exactly who we are. God has created us in His image. And that's the vision that Jesus presents here in this gospel lesson today. As the disciples say, increase in us faith. Jesus gives them this vision. See yourself as who you really are. See yourself as who God has made you to be. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.